Welcome, everyone, to our continued broadcasting of our Earth Day Appreciation event here on KHOI 89.1 FM. My name is Mary Rankin. I am the Director of Sustainability at Iowa State University and also the Sustainability Coordinator for the City of Ames. And I am so excited to be joined by two amazing, influential, and just all in all out enthusiastic and inspirational students from Iowa State University, Belinda Heckman and Caitlin Tipping. Now, I would say for our listeners, if you happen to hear the conversations from our last hour, we were talking about food waste and landfilling reduction efforts of food that could be used and given to others in our community that could make use of it instead of going in the landfill. And then also just really looking at that food waste that we do have that we couldn't necessarily share, how the City of Ames is embarking on a food waste diversion program to get that food waste composted. And I am excited to talk about the efforts that are happening at Iowa State University related to food, related to food-related efforts, related to ensuring food security. And with that, I want to have Belinda and Caitlin just introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Belinda. I am currently studying global resource systems and dietetics at Iowa State. This is my fourth year, and I'm from Eastern Iowa, a small town called West Liberty. And I'm here representing SHOP, currently serving as the president for the year.
Thank you, Belinda. Caitlin, how about you?
My name is Caitlin Tipping. I'm a senior studying global resource systems, sociology, and environmental studies. I'm from Urbandale, Iowa, and I am representing the Food Recovery Network today.
Thank you both. And you address, as I mentioned earlier, food security and considering how we can ensure enough food and food that would otherwise potentially go into the garbage that could be used to support our community in both of your organizations, but you do it in different approaches. And so, Belinda, I would love to talk more about the SHOP. So first of all, tell our members what the SHOP is about and actually what does SHOP stand for?
Of course. SHOP stands for Students Helping Our Peers. And that is our purpose. We're here as students, completely ran by students for students. So we want to distribute food that has been donated or purchased to anyone who needs it. Can be students, faculty, staff. And we were actually founded in 2011, so coming up on our 10-year anniversary, which is really exciting. And it was the result of a class project. And so food insecurity has been around for a long time on campus, and we're just excited that we can serve as an anonymous resource to students, and we don't ask for any identification when people come in. Our goal is just to distribute food and get as much of it out of the doors as we can each time anyone comes. So that's a little bit about who we are and what we do on Iowa State campus.
And I am so excited to hear it's been nearly a decade of the SHOP offering so much support to those who are hungry. I mean, people around us, no matter what community we live in, no matter what organization we are with, you know, and it can be the smallest and the largest communities. It can be in Iowa. It can be on the East Coast, the West Coast. You know, there are people around us that are hungry. And this is such an important initiative. And I remember the grand opening. I remember that class project. I remember talking to the students about what would it take to do something like this at Iowa State. And I remember the very first little, tiny tucked away area that the SHOP started in. You have come such a long way since then. Can you talk a little bit more about how the SHOP has grown, how your reach has grown, and how you've been able to support people in different areas, just not through your main hub?
Yes, of course. Something that is really special for us this year is our 10-year anniversary. And so as we look to the fall, something really, really early on in the works is looking to just increase relations across the community and maybe even do some sort of celebration with different people that we're collaborating with. Some of the people that we've started collaborating with this year is Student Wellness, which is an exciting expansion for us. They've been so influential in our move across campus. They've been super influential in helping us get connected with the Food Bank of Iowa, which we're hoping to start making purchases from them. in the future to, like you said, help reduce some of the food waste that's going on across the state. So in terms of expansion, we're really in like growing in relations with different people. We did move locations, so now we're able to actually hold more food. We're able to hold both non-perishable and perishable items. And outside of that, we have multiple locations. We now have a couple locations off campus. And so that's one way that we've really expanded to reach new students. And even more recently, people have started asking for tours of the shop. So there's just been a lot of things outside of actually distributing food that has brought light to the issue of food insecurity on campus. A lot of exciting things and expansions happening. It's crazy to think that even a year ago, we were in just something the size of like a closet. And now, which we were very grateful for at the time, don't get me wrong. It's just been even crazy to see that the last year of COVID has allowed us to make so many changes and reach communities in all sorts of aspects across Iowa State.
Yes, I think there's been so much creativity and motivation and ingenuity, really. And during a year such as COVID, where so many services had to be rethought or discontinued, how the shop continued to really be able to touch lives and support lives. And I would mention that it started related to, you know, students helping our peers, considering it as a student to student, but also you have been so wonderfully gracious in saying, you know, the entire campus really is our peers. And so this is not only just open to students, but also faculty and staff, you know, who are in need and who are food secure. And I know just such amazing impact has taken place. Now, as you mentioned, the key to your success lies in donations, having those things to be able to distribute. Can you talk more about the different items that you need and how our listeners can support the shop?
Yes, of course. I would actually love to talk about support, because I think that sometimes with food pantries, it's really easy to go straight to like products, like, oh, I want to give you products. And I would really encourage people to expand that mindset and think about other ways to support. I know for us personally, I'll run through a few. Time. We're always looking for time. Volunteers are the reason that we're open. And we're actually going to be open this summer, which is super exciting, 3 days a week. And so constantly looking for support from volunteers, because I know that everyone's time is really limited. And so it's always just encouraging and we feel supported when we see people sign up. A second thing is advertisement. So something as simple as like sharing a social media post when we post it, or when you're in conversation with friends saying, oh, I learned about this resource on campus. Things that we kind of take for granted, but is super easy to share. It doesn't cost anyone anything to say, oh, I learned about this, or I heard it on the radio today. But it goes, word of mouth travels farther than we think. And so supporting us through just advertisement that way is always appreciated. And then, like you mentioned, donations are always appreciated. If that's something people care to do, we really encourage two different kinds, actually. The first is financial donations. Anything that's donated through ISU Foundation in the like food security thing link, I believe is the best way to say that right now, can be put towards shop. And that money that gets put towards shop goes towards products, primarily food, but also hygiene. We go through hygiene products really quickly. Anything from laundry detergent, shampoo, deodorant. So financial donations go towards those products. And then the other thing is food donations, whether that's hosting a food drive with an organization that somebody else is a part of, which you have graciously done for us on occasion. And then also personal donations, if people bought a few extra groceries 1 week and didn't get through all of them and want to drop off a few cans of beans or whatever, those are also appreciated. The easiest way to drop off physical donations is just stopping by shop during hours of operation, which is on our website. So those are the easiest ways to support shop. In terms of actual items that we see going very quickly, in general, it's all over the place, but primarily like protein items. So, you know, canned chicken, canned tuna, peanut butter, lots of beans and things like that. people really enjoy. Of course, you get your fun things sprinkled in, like apple juice or other snack items, but I would say the protein is what I see going most quickly. We also do have quite a bit of pasta, but I know that that's always a fun thing to donate. So hopefully that answers a lot of your questions in regards to support, but I think that the main takeaway is there's a variety with everything, and we're appreciative of all that is done for SHOP.
Well, I think you're so gracious in your answer. And yes, I think you've given so many great ideas to our listeners related to how they can support. And you bring up such an important point, Belinda, that it doesn't have to cost. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money in supporting organizations that mean a lot to you, and you really can resonate with their mission, providing time and just even telling people, encouraging people that you know might be, you know, might benefit from the resource to ensure that they know, sharing it on your social media page, those sorts of things. So all very good things. Thank you very much. Caitlin, let's now talk about the Food Recovery Network. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what the objectives are of the network and how that network got started?
Of course, yeah. So Food Recovery Network's mission is essentially to fight waste and feed people. The Food Recovery Network is a national organization. It was started by just a small group of students at the University of Maryland in 2011. Basically, they saw food getting thrown out from the dining center one night and said, "We want to do something to stop that." So they started a now national nonprofit that has over 140 chapters at campuses across the country, including at Iowa State. So Iowa State's chapter started in fall 2015, and we do our work by partnering with ISU Dining and with Food at First, which for those listeners that don't know is a local food pantry and free meal program service that we take the food from ISU Dining that doesn't sell during the week, and we pick that up and we take it to Food at First and help organize it, sort it out for them, and package it for them so it's ready to go to be used in their market days or to be used for meals that are cooked on location and served to anyone in the community that needs it.
Yeah, such a great program and such important community reach, certainly on campus, but also throughout our Ames community. And Food at First, as you mentioned, very important organization to ensure that we have security to food connected to all of our residents, both on campus and certainly throughout our community. So, Caitlin, as the SHOP, I have followed, I've been here long enough now, I've followed the journey of the Food Recovery Network, and your members have worked also very diligently in expanding the reach, expanding the impact, and there have been sort of some creative solutions that have had to come about along the way. Do you want to talk a little bit more about some of that journey?
Yeah, so I didn't join Food Recovery Network until 2018, I believe. So it was a little bit after they got started. But I remember hearing some of the initial stories of before we had some of the materials we have now, like bins to transport food in. And, you know, now we're lucky enough to have parking passes for campus. But before, when they started, they did not have parking passes. So trying to navigate driving through campus during the middle of the day and parking, or, you know, just having to drop off someone at a door and drive around and coordinate when to pick them back up with bins full of food, I'm sure it was difficult to navigate, but we luckily have had really committed volunteers throughout the years who are willing to work through that. And, you know, also we're also entirely volunteer based, which can obviously vary from week to week how many people are available to help out. So again, just shout out to our committed volunteers throughout the years who have been willing to, even if they were the only person able to help that week, make sure that whatever food they could get and prevent from being wasted that week, they did, even if they had to do it on their own and even if it took a little more time out of their day. We've been really lucky to have people who are consistently able to work through some of these different challenges and make sure that the food is still getting donated.
Yes, I just so admire, you know, the continual energy and commitment from the Food Recovery Network in really navigating these pieces, because I do remember when it began, there were a couple of cafes on campus that said, okay, yeah, let's try it out. Let's see how it goes. And these are things that are, you know, like the pre-made sandwiches and some of those pre-made meals that can't be put on the shelves time and time again, but still can provide, you know, nutrition to people in our community, just can't necessarily be sold, you know, by ISU dining. And so I do remember a couple of the cafes saying, yeah, let's give it a try. And there were some, you know, different little tweaks to consider here and there. And I do remember all these stories of, you know, dashing in, dashing out, not to get a parking ticket. But now you are covering and, you know, working with so many campus cafes. In fact, I think you've got about all of them, correct, that you collect from?
Yeah, so this year has obviously looked a little different with that. In normal years, we were up to, I think, 8 cafes on campus. I think it was all of them except maybe the library that we were collecting from. But Food at First also has some volunteers that go to some of the locations that we don't always get to at different times during the week. So that's a great partnership that's kind of ongoing too.
Yes, I think, again, mentioning that Food at First collaboration has been great. Food at First, of course, also, and I think some of your volunteers have done it as well, coordinate with different restaurants around the Ames area, tree stores that have different produce. And so it's definitely been a wonderful team collaboration that's made so much impact. So talking about impact, let's talk about the impressive results that both of your organizations have been able to achieve. Belinda, I might ask you first, tell me about the shop impact to the ISU community in terms of providing food to campus, the members who are insecure each year. You know, what does that impact look like? You know, how many meals do you figure that you support, or students that you support, campus community members that you support?
Yeah, that's a great question. In terms of support, it has been one of our challenges to learn the best way to track or decide, because we don't ask for any information. But I think that from what we've been able to guess based on our methods that we do use, we generally see about 20 to 30 people a week with the few times that we're open, and about 100 to 200 pounds of food going out each week, which equates to about, I think, about 5,000 pounds in academic year. So not the whole school year, but academic. Obviously, there's fluctuation within that depending on the time of the year. But that's where we're currently at, pre-COVID, I should say.
Of course, yes. And certainly both organizations have had COVID considerations to work through. I guess, you know, Belinda, as you look forward to the next year, what are the particular pieces related to COVID, maybe getting a little bit back to normal, you know, moving past COVID just a little bit, that the shop is most excited about?
Yeah, shop is super excited. I will say now we are starting to get back there, but I think in general, it will be nice to just have people come in and out, and less precautions that are being constantly like observed and things like that. In some ways, it has been great where we've upped our like sanitation practices and things like that for shop, which is exciting. So I think some of our changes will stick around, but it will be nice to just also have maybe some consistent numbers again. Through COVID, we have seen an increase in numbers of people. So in a way, we're like, oh, people are learning about shop. So hopefully that expansion even continues. I think the thing that we're most excited about is getting to different campus events. A lot of outreach things were canceled or shifted online throughout the last year. And we're just really excited to meet students again through different outreach events and around campus.
Yeah, I think that I speak for so many in saying we're so excited to connect again, you know, mm-hmm. with each other, and to learn about all the great resources and meet the wonderful student leadership behind them. Caitlin, let's talk impact for the Food Recovery Network. What does that look like as far as food that had, you know, pounds of food that have been kept out of the landfill and meals that have been able to be provided, meal equivalents?
Yes, pre-COVID, we were starting to really increase our ability to recover food. We were getting around 5,000 pounds of food recovered per semester in 2019, which was the biggest year that we had had. And over time, 2015, when we started, we've recovered over 27,000 pounds of food that has all been donated. That is just a huge impact to think about. Obviously, things have been a little different now, and our numbers are down quite a bit just due to cafes not being open on campus has been a big impact. But we still have recovered over 1,000 pounds of food so far this semester, which is definitely still a big impact in the community.
That is so true. And, you know, you think about that is, you know, food that can go to folks that can make use of it versus it being put into the garbage. And even if it's composted, it's still, you know, the best use for products that are produced is for their intended need. And so what an impact, what an impressive impact. And you mentioned that a number of the cafes have been closed, so that certainly impacted your organization during COVID. Besides collecting from more cafes and getting out there more, other things that you're looking forward to as we embark upon fall semester and looking a little more normal around the Iowa State campus?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, as you said, cafes start opening again and we can kind of ramp up our volunteer effort. And with that, getting more people involved again, we have been lucky enough that we've still had kind of an increased interest in the club this year, which has been great to see with new volunteers. But with COVID considerations, we have had to limit the number of volunteers that we're able to have each week since we are driving in cars together. So for distancing requirements, we need to limit numbers. So being able to have more people help out each week and have more people get involved would be really great. And also having events on campus again was something that we used to be able to partner with large events to recover food. And we haven't been able to do that for a year. So that has kind of been a loss in my perspective as well, to not be able to have participated in those recoveries.
Well, I think that we're all looking forward to what next year brings, and certainly the impact that you both have made, so incredibly impressive. I would tell our listeners that to find more information out about both of your organizations, how our listeners can support them, and just how they can share information about both of the organizations and the great things that your members do. I think the easiest way is to go to the Iowa State website, iastate.edu, type in the shop, and also type in Food Recovery Network. That will take you immediately to the student organization page for both of these organizations. And I believe that you both have social media accounts. Is that right? That people can follow? Okay. So I am seeing on my Zoom screen, both heads shaking yes. So please do also look on to Facebook for the shop or the Food Recovery Network. So for you both, I am interested as to this experience and the work that you've done, the impact you've done. How do you envision that you will take this forward into your adventures after you leave Iowa State someday? Caitlin, I know you're graduating this May, and I should mention to our listeners, I am bittersweet about Caitlin graduating, thrilled for her, but she is my campus and community events intern for the Live Green team at Iowa State. She's done a phenomenal job, and I'm certainly going to miss her. But Caitlin, since I have to say goodbye to you, how do you see this experience carrying forward for you?
Thanks, Mary. It's bittersweet for me too. I mean, Food Recovery Network, being a member of that and being in leadership has been a big part of, I think, my Iowa State experience. And so going forward, I definitely want to continue to get involved with volunteering in my community, whichever community that is that I end up in. I'm job searching now, so I haven't quite found what I'm doing yet, but I'm hoping to stay involved in something related to sustainability and continue to make impacts in that regard in whatever community I end up in. And long term, big future abstract goal, I have this kind of crazy idea to start a zero waste coffee shop. So we'll see if that ever becomes a thing, but that would definitely involve some donating food, making sure we're reducing food waste, keeping everything sustainable going forward. So, yeah.
Well, I know that when you do that, I have no doubt you will. We absolutely have to have you back on KHOI to talk all about it. And gosh, I can just see it being called One Cup at a Time or something like that. What a great idea. I love that. So Belinda, I am thrilled to say Iowa State University gets to keep you longer than this semester because you will be coming back to Iowa State next year. Talk about what this experience with the shop and serving in your presidential role has meant to you.
Oh, I'd love to. It's been so, so important in my experience at Iowa State. I've learned so much. I've seen people doing great things in the field of food insecurity and all of the efforts towards it. It has definitely shaped my future interests. I will be around Iowa State for a little bit longer, but in the future, I hope to end up in extension, but also somewhere in the realm of nutrition. And it fits really well because a lot of food, you know, you eat food and everyone has to eat food, but that's where your nutrition plays a role in that. And just seeing all the obstacles beyond even financial obstacles, I think will really shape the way that I prescribe diet plans in the future or help people that way. So I don't know the exact role that it's going to play, but it's been really influential. And I'm excited to be a part of it for another year and at Iowa State and then continue to be a part of it wherever I end up afterwards. I don't have any wonderful long-term future cool shops that I want to open, but I'll definitely be visiting Caitlin's once that opens up.
Yes, we'll definitely have to gather and have a cup of coffee. That will be fabulous. Well, such a sustainable difference toward a sustainable future, both of you in your roles and through all of the committed effort for the student members of both the Food Recovery Network and the shop. What a pleasure to have talked to you. What a pleasure to be inspired by you all. Thank you for your effort and your ongoing dedication. It really does take a village to ensure a sustainable future. And you are such inspirations related to that. Thank you again to my guests, Belinda Heckman with The Shop, Students Helping Our Peers here at Iowa State University, and also Caitlin Tipping with the student organization Food Recovery Network. Thank you both. Happy, happy Earth Month.